This hour of Spears and Ali on ESPN Tucson is brought to you by Tucson Federal Credit Union and the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans. Now back to Spears and Ali on 1490 AM, 94.9 HD Channel 4 ESPN Tucson.
Welcome to another edition of Spears and Ali. I'm Justin Spears here with Ali Farhang. Good morning to you.
Good morning,
my
buddy.
Good sir.
How are you?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I can't wait to talk to you about all of those Girl Scout cookie donuts. And I'm still a little suspicious. You said you had one. And that's not the guy. No.
Knowing me.
Yeah, that's not you.
No, I was golfing with other people. I didn't want to be greedy. Didn't want to be that guy,
yeah.
You know?
You didn't like have one, and then everybody went over to the tee box, and you ran back real quick, and you're like, okay, I tried to tag along. Give me the Thin Mint donut.
Well, I actually really strongly thought about asking them, hey, do you guys have any, like, to-go boxes? Do you guys have any, like, boxes that, you know, you could put a few in and I could just keep
handy? It's called that pink donut box. Here you go.
Yeah. Could you take all the donuts out of it, and then I could keep this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was good stuff at the Pro-Am. Wish you were there.
Cake, yeah, me too, man. I'm sorry it didn't work out, but a cakey donut, an airy donut. What was the texture of the donut?
It was very cakey.
Man. And you had the tag along.
It was very, very soft, but you could pull it apart, and it was just so good, but yet it wasn't like a giant mess, right? You didn't have a bunch of sprinkles and stuff going everywhere. It was the perfect donut.
The perfect donut.
The perfect donut.
Wow.
Because I'm a big fan of chocolate and peanut butter, as you are.
Yeah.
You put that on a donut, some good stuff happening right there, man.
It's got all the ingredients for some really great potential to be fantastic. So, yes, chocolate, peanut butter, and a donut.
And a donut.
Yeah, that's a recipe for success, Justin. Speaking about a recipe for success, what do we got on the show today?
Oh, look at that. Yeah, look at that, like a pro. Our show for today, we're going to do our Friday favorite interview, and one of our favorites that we did this week was our interview with Stanley Berryhill, Detroit Lion, Tucson native, now going into his second season in the National Football League. And Stanley had a pretty cool thing to say about special teams and how much that affected his game and his life and how it was able to allow him to stick in the NFL. So Stanley Berryhill will be running it back with us at 7:40. We'll have a Final Four breakdown coming up here in just a little bit. At 8:25, Jordan Hamm from Sports 360 AZ will talk about a number of things with him, including Phoenix Suns, Arizona Diamondbacks, and also get his thoughts on Arizona spring football. And then Bruce Pasco from the Arizona Daily Star calls in at 8:40 to talk to us about Arizona hoops. What's the latest there? Do they go after TJ Bamba? I mean, I know a lot of schools are after him, but are the Arizona Wildcats in serious contention to land TJ Bamba? We'll ask Bruce how Arizona will go about reconstructing its roster for this upcoming season. And then we have a ticket giveaway. We're going to do Centurions, that event, the 38 special concert. And it's not just a concert. It's just a whole event. They got food trucks. They have everything. It's a party.
Yeah.
It's a true festival.
You've a lot of games. They've got you got the VIP bar. They've got it's just going to be such a good thing. Fast Times at Centurions High, man. It's going to be great. And we had a really good interview this week with Eric Jacobson and Andy Brown.
Yeah.
they're really able to elaborate on all the great things the Centurions do for our community.
So if you want tickets for this, we're giving away a pair coming up at the end of this hour. And then I think it's our last giveaway for the movie Air, the special screening on April 4th. So we're going to give away two of those tickets all at once. We're going to do, I think, callers number one and two.
You want me to say two of those tickets all together, like at the same time, or we're giving away multiple packages all?
Multiple packages.
There's four tickets.
No, four tickets total, two different pairs. Two Centurions, two Air movies.
Oh, got you. So we're mixing and matching.
Yes.
All right. I mean, do we want to just take those Air tickets and not allow, if you just say, hey, somebody won them. Name is Houston Spiras.
Or Thomas Brady.
Yeah, Thomas Brady. Yeah. How about that story, huh?
Okay, so before we get to top three headlines, you know, we were talking about random sports stats earlier this week, and the one that always comes off the top of my head is Larry Fitzgerald has more tackles than drops in the NFL, and which is mind-boggling to me. What's your random sports stat in regards to Tom Brady?
It's the one I told you the other day where the all-time assist leader for the San Diego State Aztec basketball team is Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn.
Baseball Hall of Famer, the great Tony Gwynn. But yesterday I came across an article from 1983, and I remember that year very vividly because that was Terry Bradshaw's last year in the NFL, and he threw a touchdown on his last pass, and he got the wrong kind of surgeon on his elbow surgery. Terrible. But he went in for elbow surgery before the season started. And, you know, you can't – in Pittsburgh, there's a lot of fandom.
Rabid
fandom, right? So Terry had to go in under a pseudonym. So he decided to use the name Thomas Brady. So even before we even knew who Tom Brady was, before – maybe Tom Brady was, what, 7 at that time? Terry Bradshaw went into the hospital under the name Tom Brady. So – What's the moral of the story? There's going to be a great NFL football player named Ron Mexico.
Because of Michael Vick.
Whenever there's a guy named Ron Mexico, that's what Michael Vick used to check in at hotels. Or as soon as I see a college player named Ron Mexico, I'm like, man, Steelers got to draft him. I don't care if he's a kicker, punter, whatever. All I know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
I got to bet on him winning the Heisman. Would have bet on him winning the Super Bowl at some point, man.
Yeah, yes. Or being underdrafted and becoming one of the all-time greats.
Ron Mexico. All right, we'll have opening day reaction. Well, speaking of opening day, let's get right to it. Top three headlines heading into today.
One.
How about opening day? How'd your Pirates do?
They won.
They actually
were
won.
We're undefeated, baby. Beat the Rams 5-4. I thought they were going to poop it. Yeah, I thought they were going to poop it away because they were up, and then the Reds came back and tied it, and I'm like, oh, man. But then, the McCutcheon return was successful. O'Neill Cruz, man, he's one of the young stars of this league. And so it was great. It's great to be undefeated, and the Pirates are in contention on March 31st, 2023. But, you know, what did I learn, man? I think I love baseball again. The pace is great.
Fast.
Hey, some things stay the same. Aaron Judge hits a home run in his first at bat. And to the benefit of my pocketbook, the Diamondbacks blow a game to the Dodgers.
That's very evergreen. Those are two evergreen statements right there. Aaron Judge homers and the D-backs blow a lead.
Yeah, or lose.
The Diamondbacks were up 2-0 against the Dodgers.
And that's
last
when
night.
I live bet, right? It was plus 100. I'm like, even money? And with the Dodgers lineup, I'm going to have to put 20 bucks on this.
Well, Will Smith, in the fifth inning, hit an RBI single, and then J.D. Martinez later hit an RBI single. And then later on, David Peralta also hit an RBI single, which gave the Dodgers a 5-2 lead in the fifth inning.
Yes.
And then just blew it open after that.
The problem was Zach Gallen should have taken Will Smith's name out of his mouth because he smacked a single to left field.
Little Oscars pun there.
There you go.
But the D-backs had a solid start. Zach Gallen looked like he was going to be pitching a gem, and then the Dodgers blew it open. Julio Urias started for the Dodgers. It was his first ever opening day start for the young man. And it's so crazy. Like, one of my favorite Julio Urias' stats was the fact that he was like the youngest player that Vin Scully ever broadcasted. Like, wasn't it...
I mean, that's saying something.
It was, well, because he was 19 or something like that. It was like the first player that Vin Scully ever covered was born in, like, 1906. And then you have this Julio Urias guy who was born in, like, 2000 or something like that. So think about, like, how long Vin Scully's been a broadcaster, man. But Julio, the late, great Vin Scully, man, missed that man so much.
Yeah.
But the D-backs, though... Zach Gallen, we all had high expectations for him, and I still think he's going to have a terrific season. But once again, D-backs showed that once they get into the middle of the game, slash late in the game, they're still vulnerable. And they didn't really address that in the offseason. I mean, last year, they went out and got Mark Melancon, and then it turned into this ongoing joke here on Spears and Ali. It's like, oh, anytime Mark Melancon comes in, here comes the blown lead for the D-backs. And they always hit a wall whenever they got into the middle of the game slash late in the game. And we saw that again last night. But then again, they are playing against the Dodgers. Yes, the Dodgers don't seem as loaded as they have been in the last couple of years, but this is still a really good team. And then, of course, David Peralta, the former D-back, gets it going.
You give a lot of a lot of stuff to Mark Melancon, former U of A great, and was a great pitcher. And if you're gonna
he is a great pitcher. But
if you're
like,
gonna offer a guy who's like 43 years old to be your closer,
that's the D-backs'
default.
Like, yeah,
okay. Yeah. It's the D-backs. It's fundamentally, and this is the question for their ownership and management: are you trying to win or not? Because it doesn't seem like it. And for being in a major market, for having a beautiful stadium, you guys don't really invest in the team. I'm not really sure why anybody buys season tickets to the Diamondbacks. And I'll say this about my Pirates, too. Like, there are teams that it's just like, I joke that they're 1-0, and they're like, hey, they're in contention. I mean, are you trying to win or not? Because it doesn't seem like it. But, you know, the other thing I found interesting about opening night was Shohei Ohtani. And talk about evergreen statements. Of course, the Angels lose in late innings. He threw like 6 or 7 innings, 10 Ks, was up 1-0. They lost 2-1 to the Oakland A's. But what I found interesting was Shohei Ohtani, who baseball should market around this guy way more than they're doing. He had some sort of device on him, which was legal, and where he could call his own pitches. So there were some malfunctions in the first inning. They had to go old school or the catcher to the signals. But basically, he would touch a button or two. He would tell the catcher what he was throwing. And the reason he did it is because instead of shaking off the catcher because he's got so many pitches, he calls his own pitches. And with the time clock, now there's no delay. So I think this may be, you know, maybe something in the future. But I think it's pretty cool that, you know, Shohei Ohtani called all of his own pitches last night, and he went from dominant to unhittable.
Well, Shohei Ohtani, we talked about him setting these crazy stats and breaking all sorts of records. Shohei Ohtani, and this is, again, the most typical Angels stat you'll hear. Shohei Ohtani, his outing, was the 26th since at least 1901 with 10-plus strikeouts and no runs allowed on opening day. And it's the first time that the pitcher's team lost the game.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
you know, the greatest thing that baseball could do, honestly, is manipulate Shohei Ohtani going to either the Yankees or the Dodgers. That guy needs to be pitching in the postseason. And
hitting,
yeah. To have someone like that could really re-energize baseball on a team that sucks and never in the postseason, never playing important games, is a travesty.
So going back to...
I'm coming in hot today, baby.
I know, man.
It's Friday, yeah.
But I want to go back to the device. You talk about how it speeds up the game, the pitching clock, the hitter's clock. We really saw that in effect yesterday. We saw a number of violations. In the game, the D-backs-Dodgers game last night, Kevin Ginkle, former Arizona Wildcat, he got Smith into the batter's box. There was a violation there. So then, obviously, they called the ball. What do you think about what this could do for baseball? Because I was looking at the average time per game, Ali, and opening day last year, the average game time was 3 hours and 16 minutes. Last night's average, or yesterday's average, all throughout the day, was 2 hours and 49 minutes.
It's great.
So it's really shaving off time for these games, and it's speeding it up and kind of making it more interesting.
I could not agree more, man. I mean, now the only thing that is you've got to change is your strategy going to the concession stand, because
you can't miss action,
depending when you're going, you could miss two innings. I think this is great for baseball. It's long overdue. I hope the NBA follows suit and puts a time clock on the frickin' NBA challenge review.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you don't need 7 minutes. It's like, if it's a more than a minute, then the play on whatever the call on the court was should stand. So college basketball, NBA. I can't believe I'm saying these words.
Follow baseball?
Take a clue from baseball. The most antiquated, old school, tradition, you know, that
ridden,
old-timey league that we have, baseball, actually is now showing some chutzpah. And thinking progressively instead of antiquatedly, if that's a word. I'm using it.
And the players are still getting used to it. Like the a lot of pitchers around Major League Baseball, they talked about how they have to really think about everything. They have to be mindful that there's a clock here. It's kind of like you're the quarterback.
Yeah.
You can't let that play clock get down, or else you get a delay game.
I think you're going to have more pitchers like Shohei Ohtani, especially if you got a certain stature, using this whatever this device is under the uniform. I think they're going to start calling their own pitches, which I'm all for it. Great.
I'm for it, too. All right, so D-backs Dodgers, game two is later on tonight at Dodgers Stadium. Again, D-backs losing to LA 8-2. All right, let's go to headline number two.
When's the last time the first headline on Spears and Ali was baseball, and it ended on a kind of positive note? I think we should mark this thing down. It might be a national holiday.
That Spears and Ali's praising baseball.
Yeah, I know, right? Wow.
All right, let's talk about these Phoenix Suns, shall we?
Let's do it.
After Kevin Durant's home debut,
yeah,
the Phoenix Suns are now facing the Denver Nuggets. Could be a preview of the Western Conference Finals. The top-seeded Nuggets facing the fourth-seeded Phoenix Suns. And I'm curious to see how Kevin Durant will look tonight against Nikola Jokic. Because isn't that why you get a guy like Kevin Durant? Is so he can help you guard those bigger players that's really going to give you problems in the postseason, like a Nikola Jokic, maybe a Joel Embiid. We all know what Giannis Antetokounmpo did to them a couple of years ago. So having Kevin Durant around really helps out with those matchups. We're going to see that tonight. I also think KD, now that he's officially gotten that one game out of the way at home, we're going to see him really turn it up because he had, 16 points the other night.
Yeah, in 16 minutes. He only played 16 minutes. Do you think that I think the Suns are going to bring him along slowly. I mean, they want him for the playoffs. And I'm going to tell you, if Monty Williams is counting on Kevin Durant to help stop guys like Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic,
count on him solely to stop
him. But he adds some length to maybe double team with DeAndre Ayton and whatnot. I mean, I get that. But Kevin Durant, he's there for one reason and one reason only. Put the ball in the basket, facilitate, and give the Suns, I mean, really, when I say another scoring threat, from one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But check this out, Justin. The Western Conference playoffs could be, the first round could be all must-see TV. You could have Denver and the Lakers in the first round.
Which I don't want.
That's the way it's looking right now.
Okay.
You could have Memphis and New Orleans. Pretty good matchup.
Okay.
Right? New Orleans got some good dudes. They played really well last night in Denver. Phoenix Suns, LA Clippers, first round.
Oh, man. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Russ against the Phoenix Suns.
I mean, I'm in for all of that. I still won't root for the Clippers, even though I have a very much of a distaste for the Suns as a Laker fan. And then you're looking at the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. I'm telling you, every single series, I think I'm going to be very much tuned in to all of the NBA playoffs, especially in the first round.
I'm very happy. I can't believe I'm saying this as a Lakers fan myself. I'm happy for the Kings. Knowing the rivalry that went back, 20 years ago with Mike Bibby and Chris Webber and all those guys, I can't believe I'm saying that I'm very happy for the Kings. But
how can you not be happy, man?
Making the playoffs for the first time since, 06?
They have the longest streak of not making the playoffs in major sports. It's been 17 years. Can you imagine what that stadium's going to be like, game one, whoever they play in Sacramento? I mean, good for them. And they're a fun team to watch, and they've got likable players, whether it's Fox or DeMontis Sabonis or Keegan Murray. Yeah, I'm happy for the Kings, too.
Are you saying that Mike Bibby wasn't likable?
Mike Bibby was lovable. But they
the other guys.
But they were in the way of my team
winning
a championship. And then Robert Horry.
Big shot, Bob.
Beautiful. Yeah.
But we
did get a few foul calls that game.
just a little bit.
Yeah, but they kept fouling. Stop cheating, Sacramento.
But Denver comes to Phoenix tonight. They face the Phoenix Suns tonight at 7:30 p.m. And then the Suns travel to Oklahoma City. Then they got games against San Antonio, the Nuggets, the Lakers, and then the Clippers to end the regular season. Speaking of NBA news, Big shout out to former Arizona Wildcats Gabe York and Kobe Simmons.
Yeah,
Gabe York signing a two-way deal. He made his NBA debut last season, but he did it on a 10-day contract. A two-way deal allows him to play for the rest of the season. And the next season, he's going to be a contributor for both the Pacers G League team. We'll be going back and forth with the NBA team as well. Very happy for Gabe because he's worked so damn hard for this moment. And he almost got his NBA debut earlier last season, but he got COVID. And then once he was obviously out of COVID, he was out of his 10-day contract, and they sent him back to the G League. I'm like, man, really, COVID-19, that's what's standing in the way between you and the NBA right now. He finally made his NBA debut. Kevin Durant gave him some kudos as well, recognized his story. And now here we are. Gabe York is going to be playing for the Pacers for the remainder of the season. And he's going to be teaming up with T.J. McConnell and Benedict Mathurin.
Yeah, I mean, the Pacers turning into the Arizona Wildcats Midwest. And it could have been really Arizona Wildcats Midwest had the Suns not matched DeAndre Ayton's offer sheet that the Pacers signed. So, yeah, good for Gabe York, man. Just talk about lovable. One of the best Arizona Wildcats. Never forget the senior day when he hit, 9 3-pointers?
9 3-pointers. Yeah, tied Salim's record.
Against Oregon?
Yep. Cal.
Cal.
It's always Cal. Yeah. Speaking of Cal, they hired Mark Mattson.
I know. How weird is that? Cal's basketball coach is coached by a Stanford grad, and Stanford's football team is coached by a Cal grad.
Wow.
World's a little upside down right now.
Well, Mike Montgomery, he coached both.
Yeah, but at the same time, and then
you're not an alumnus.
And then the Sacramento Kings are in third place, and I don't know. Am I dead?
All right.
What's happening?
Let's go to headline number three.
Three.
All right, let's make it snappy, Ali. Azulis Tibelis was not named a finalist for the Wooden Award, but he was named to the All-American team. What do you make of that?
Awesome, and I'm just thinking of the song, Baby Come Back.
We'll see if Azulis Tibelis comes back to the University of Arizona. We'll ask Bruce Pasco at 8:40. But coming up next, this weekend is the Final Four. Let's talk about it right here on Spears and Ali.
Spears.
Justin Spears, I like that.
And Ali.
I want to be entertaining, but I'm not stupid enough to compare myself to Ali.
We'll be right back on 1490 AM. ESPN Tucson.
How do I do that? Spears and Ali is presented by Tucson Federal Credit Union and the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans.
That's a powerful combination right there.
It is, man.
How'd you do at the Pro-Am, being Salesman Spears, talking to potential sponsors? How did it go?
I was schmoozing.
Were you?
Yeah.
Did you get a numbers? Any digits?
I did.
You did?
I did.
You gonna? What is it like? Is it like when you're meeting a girl, you got to give it a couple of days, or are you going to call right away? What's up?
Well, I met this guy. His name's Brian.
Yeah.
Brian works IV here in town. And he was like, "Yeah, how does advertisement work with you guys?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, you want to exchange contact information?" He gave me his card, and I felt like when I was back in middle school, high school, and you have that crush and you go talk to her and you get her number and that feeling of just giddiness.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Eye contact or no eye contact?
Oh,
were you looking down and kind of like kicking the dirt?
Swaying my feet. Yeah. I had my 9-iron just kind of.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to call Brian, or are you going to send him a note? Will you go with me? Yes, maybe box. What are the Justin Spears moves when it comes to enticing sponsors?
Spears and Ali sponsor? ? Yes or no?
Yeah. That's what people like, is like a lack of confidence when they're going after something.
Yeah.
Let's talk after the show.
But yet, all the people who I've encountered at the Pro-Am made amazing contacts and very thankful. As a matter of fact, Ali, I was at the driving range getting ready to go out there, and I was talking with some guy, Diego. Diego's his name. That's how I ran into Brian. And we were just talking, and he was like, "Oh, you're with ESPN Radio," and I started talking this and that. And then the Brian guy was like, "Wait a second. I recognize that voice. Who are you again?" I was like, "Oh, I'm Justin Spears." He's like, "Spears and Ali. Man, I listen to you guys all the time."
Nice.
And then that's how the conversation started about sponsorships and all that stuff.
That's the way it
happens.
It's
really cool, man.
Yeah, that's the way it happens. And, man,
that's never happened to me before.
Really?
That's never happened, where I'm out and they're like, "Wait a second, I know that voice." I'm sure it happens to guys like Brian Jeffries all the time, because he just says hello and you're like, "Oh, my God, it's Brian freaking Jeffries." To me, I've never been out in public and they're like, "Wait a second, I know that voice. I know you." Never happened. It was kind of cool.
Did it feel good? It does. It does.
It felt pretty cool.
It does, man. Does it get you over the hump of not reading your Twitter comments? And it doesn't really matter what those guys say.
It certainly helps. It certainly helps.
Yeah, dude, you're doing good work. Now we're just going to have to work on your clothes. And we are going to talk on overtime about the Justin Spears moves. What do you do when you get a girl's number? How long do you wait before you call it?
The strategy?
Save it for overtime. But I'm interested. You didn't quite answer the question, Claire.
Spears and Ali overtime. Find that episode wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Apple, Spotify, Spears and Ali. Ali, this weekend is the Final Four.
Yeah.
Who do you like in this year's Final Four?
Well, let's start with the first game, Florida Atlantic versus San Diego State. Both really feel-good stories. San Diego State really doing a great job before they enter the Pac-12, if there is a Pac-12, because now I'm actually even more leaning toward the fact. It's early, man.
I know. I haven't had coffee yet. I'm with you.
I'm not sure there's really a deal on the table for media rights. And, you know, I saw a recent article, some more comments from President Bobby Robbins. And to me, it seems more likely than ever right now that Arizona is going to be in the Big 12. But I digress. My big thing with Florida Atlantic and San Diego State is San Diego State's got they're a very, very, very good defensive team. Florida Atlantic's got some length as well. I just don't know if San Diego State can score with Florida Atlantic. And the way Florida Atlantic moves the ball and their spacing, I'm looking for Florida Atlantic, talk about words you never thought would come out of your mouth, to be in the national championship game. And then moving on to Miami and UConn. Miami, again, very good team. Had a couple of transfer portal guys really making a big impact on them, both experienced teams. I think UConn's length is going to win the day, and UConn's been playing probably the best basketball since the tournament started, even before. So I'm looking at a UConn-Florida Atlantic national championship game.
One thing to pay attention to when San Diego State faces Florida Atlantic is those final minutes of the game. Florida Atlantic, for some reason, they're a second-half team. Those final minutes, that's when it's winning time for them. Every single game this season, they've been trailing at some point in the second half. But then in the final 10 minutes, in the first four games of the tournament, Ali, the final 10 minutes, Florida Atlantic has outscored its opponents 98-66.
You know who they remind me of?
Who?
There was a team in 1997 that won the national title that very similar, both in playing style and they kind of owned the end of the game.
Yeah.
That was the national championship Arizona Wildcats.
Well,
they remind me a lot of that team.
Well, speaking of which, Ali, happy anniversary.
Yeah, right?
Today's the day.
I know.
That Arizona won the national championship in 1997. Simon Says championship. One of the best.
Do you remember where you were? You were like four, right?
I was a wee lad.
Yeah, were you even watching the game or were you playing hopscotch out back?
I was certainly playing hopscotch right in my chalk on the sidewalk. No, I was a youngster then in 1997.
You didn't watch the game?
No. Heck no.
1997.
I was a youngster, man.
How old were you?
Oh, man, do we have to get into this?
I'm just trying to do the math right now. You're 27.
Yeah.
Right? So you were like, what, six?
No, I was...
Five?
I was born in 95.
Oh, so you're two.
Yeah. I was a youngster. You were doing three things at that time. Okay, well...
You were pooping, you were eating, and you were crying.
Yes.
And sleeping.
Well, and I also... I hate revealing my age on the airwaves here because... A lot of our audience, they're older than me, and I feel bad in a way that guys listen to our show and they're like, oh, this freaking young guy, he doesn't know squat about what he's talking about. Like, I do my homework. I'm passionate about what I do.
You're right.
I don't try to be that youngster that's very delusional to a lot of things and oblivious. I recognize history. I do my best at making sure that we can.
Yeah, I think you're overthinking that.
Analyze everything.
Substance over.
But there are some people that, like, when they hear your A's, they're like, oh, they disregard everything that you say.
Okay, I'm 52, so we're balancing it out. So you got the young demographic, I got the older demographic, and then together we got the middle demographic.
Yeah.
Boom. How about that?
I'm down for that.
Well, I forgot what we were talking about.
We're talking about
Final Four. Denver.
Or 1997. Where were you when I was living in Denver, and I just
graduated from law school, and a couple of fraternity brothers and friends from college, they actually lived in Denver, too. I went to my buddy Brent Powers' house, and we all watched it together, and we could not believe what we just saw. Arizona taking down his third number one seed and beating Kentucky in a national championship game. It was incredible.
And big news for you Arizona fans, congratulations, because that's the last time the Pac-12 has won a national championship in men's basketball.
Yeah, conference of champions.
Conference of champions.
Yeah.
Three number one seeds, never been done before. I don't think it's been done since then,
no.
If I'm not mistaken.
No.
And a run unlike any other that we've seen in college basketball.
But this FAU team just kind of, they give me that same vibe. They remind me of that. And, you know, would I be shocked, based on what I've seen in the last 2 weeks, if FAU won the national championship? No. Would I have been shocked before the whole thing started? Absolutely. But this team is really good.
So,
definitely underseeded. Should not have been a nine
seed. They had three losses.
Yeah, 31-3. They're just so much better than they were seeded.
And I'm very happy for their coach, Dusty May, because I don't know if you read the story about Matt Norlander on CBS, but Dusty May thought that when he got to Boca Raton, that he actually used this quote, committed career suicide.
Yeah.
Because he got to the facilities and realized, whoa, even though FAU is a really nice campus, it's in a great location, these facilities are crap.
Where was he coaching before?
Oh, man, no idea.
So the story is, he agreed to take the job before he looked
visited.
At the facilities.
Yeah.
And then he saw the facilities, and he said he wanted to cry. And he was trying to see how he could get out of it. He flew back, and there was already an article, I thought, that said from wherever he was coaching that, you know, he's leaving. Or maybe I'm thinking of Al Michaels when he left AAA Hawaii to go broadcast for the Cincinnati Reds. I think I'm thinking of the latter. But you're right. That's a really interesting story. So Al Michaels was living in Hawaii. He takes the job. It's like 30 degrees in Cincinnati, and he's like, it was 37 degrees. He remembers exactly the temperature. And he's standing at the corner, and he's like, what did I just do? I'm living in Hawaii in paradise, and I just moved to Cincinnati to take a job with the Reds. How can I get out of this? And when he flew back in the Honolulu newspaper, it said the Islanders, Hawaii Islanders, losing its voice. And Al Michaels, he's like, well, I had no choice. I had to take the Reds job.
Man. And I'm freezing my ass off in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on the Smartless, that podcast I like, and very, very good episode. I would highly recommend listening to that episode with Al Michaels.
So you got FAU beating the Aztecs?
I do.
Okay. And then you got UConn beating Miami?
UConn, it looks like the team to beat, man. I do. But, hey, I wouldn't put it past Miami either, man. They played well as well. What do you think?
Defense. Because I think that San Diego State, they're probably one of the best defensive teams right now left. They've showed it all season long. I don't know, man. I just have a funny feeling about these Aztecs. And I'm going with the UConn Huskies, with the Aztecs beating UConn in the national championship.
Wow.
Best sports moment in San Diego history.
So this is the best time of year for a lot of things. The most crowded Vegas is going to be probably all year.
100%.
And probably the most vasectomies to be taking place today. Happy National Vasectomy Day, everybody.
Snip, snip.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Spears and Ali, weekday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN Tucson, 1490 AM, 94.9 HD Channel 4, and the Spears and Ali podcast.
ESPN Tucson invites you to Fast Times at Centurions High, April 29th at Kino Sports Complex. The annual Centurions event is featuring 38 special. It's an evening of food, fun, and music, all while supporting local charities. And the proceeds benefit TMC for Children, Imago Dei, Grace Retreat, and Assistance League. Get all your tickets online at ESPNTucson.com, or we're giving them away right now.
Well, I tell you what, I got an idea. And in the spirit of the great Imagine Dragons, that I have to almost pull teeth for Andrew to ever play. I don't know why he hates them so much, because they're awesome.
They're the most ESPN college football promo band of all time.
Yeah, but if you watch them in concert, man, amazing.
Good
stuff. I love it.
It's like NASCAR. You hate it when you're listening to it or watching it, but, man, you appreciate it when you're there.
Now, Spears and Ali, we've got – yeah, yeah. I should have given you some space for that one, let it resonate. That was a great comment by you.
Thanks.
I didn't hear it, but it sounded good because he laughed. So what I'm thinking is, we've got two great sponsors for Spears and Ali. It's Tucson Federal Credit Union and Paul Volpe with Nova Home Loans, correct? Spears and Ali, a formidable team, come as a package, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we make this, a super duper package. Why don't we say caller number one gets the Centurion tickets and the air tickets. Boom, baby. The greatest combo of all time in giveaways on sports radio in sports radio history.
Are we allowed to do that, Andrew? I know, like,
I genuinely am not sure.
All right.
So,
I'm going to give you guys a really good rule of thumb for living a very successful and happy life. Ask for permission. Don't ask for permission. Ask for forgiveness. We will ask for forgiveness. Caller number one right now, 719-1490. You get not only Centurion tickets, you get the Air movie tickets. Call in right now, 719-1490. We're doing it.
We can't combo. I just got confirmation.
Oh, he's like, yeah, combo. We can't combo those.
Oh, okay.
Valdez, who's giving away the tickets. So call Valdez right now.
Caller number one, you get Centurion tickets. Caller number two, you get Air tickets. The greatest combination of all time since Magic and Kareem, Shaq and Kobe, Bird and McHale, Spears and Ali.
719-1490.
Abbott and Costello. Laverne and Shirley.
719-1490. Caller number one and two will get tickets to either the Centurions event or to go see the movie Air. God, so much energy and juice. Who needs coffee when you have Ali Farhang?
Well, I need coffee, and I'm going to tell you, I drank a lot of coffee before the show. I guess you would call it living up to my drinking coffee capabilities, and then I had to visit ESPN Tucson facilities. And my takeaway from that is, well, relief, number one. But number two, somebody's eating way too much asparagus. That's really what my
Thanks for that. Thanks for that. Callers number one and number two will get the tickets. 719-1490, 719-1490. Whether you want to go see Air, the movie directed by Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, surrounding or focusing on the relationship between Nike Air Jordan and what was later known as Air Jordan. If you want to go see that, caller number two, caller number one will get tickets to the Centurions event.
Centurions at Fast Times High. You notice that when I bring a little bit of energy and chutzpah, that he kind of tries to even it out, and he's like much more reserved and, you know, soft-spoken.
I tried to Kevin Harlan you a little bit.
Yeah, you did.
Kevin Harlan during the...
Who's Bill Walton's...
Dave Pash.
I feel like you kind of Dave Pashed me.
A little bit.
You're just like, you kind of shook your head, rolled your eyes, and it's like, okay, Bill, like, let's just talk about the game.
Yeah. That's how I feel sometimes. I'm the Dave Pash in this relationship to your Bill Walton.
Does that make you happy?
No, it does not. Yeah. It does not. Because you... What's your name again? All right. Coming up in hour number two of Spears and Ali, let's talk about opening day reactions. The pitch clock. How that's affecting the sport of baseball. We'll also take a look around the NBA, talk about potential playoff seedings and where the Phoenix Suns stand, where the Lakers stand. Plus, the Dallas Mavericks are, quote, a cluster bleep, according to Kyrie Irving. Mavericks, they might not even make the playoffs now.
Luka Doncic in a lawsuit with his mother over some branding and image and likeness. There's something going on off the court with Luka Doncic right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. We'll also talk to Jordan Hamm from Sports 360 AZ about Suns, D-backs, Arizona spring football, and then Bruce Pascoe calls in to talk about Arizona Wildcats basketball. Hour number two of Spears and Ali right here on ESPN Radio.
719-1490. Call in.
Do you want Spears and Ali unchained, unfiltered, uncensored? If you like the live show on ESPN Tucson, 1490 AM, 94.9 HD, Channel 4, and the ESPN Tucson mobile app, then you'll love Spears and Ali Overtime, where we discuss sports, culture, movies.
And enough with the gratuitous cussing, Justin. I mean, you don't have to always use words like and go yourself.
It's Spears and Ali Overtime. Subscribe, rate, and comment on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.